So I want to just go a little bit deeper with what we've been talking about. You may have been to some of the other talks that we've had. We've had two already, and we're just doing a mini series, if you like, on at the beginning of this new year. Often the beginning of the year is a time for us to reflect, isn't it? To think about what's important to us, to think about our priorities. And we've been doing this kind of mini series, which is on choosing Jesus first. And I've just got one slide. We'll just keep this up throughout it, please. Just that our eyes are on you. And that comes from that 2 Chronicles 20:12, which starts with, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And it's that story of the people of God who have prepared, who have done all that they need to do. This is never a call to, let's just sit here and just pray. There was always a call to action, but there was a proper order to this. And the proper order is we will always have that heart to lean into Jesus, to lean into him, to depend on him. And from that place, we do things. So the people of Israel in Chronicles, when we talk here, read about Jehoshaphat, two chapters earlier, we're talking about how Jehoshaphat has built up his armies. He's invested, he's strategically thought about what it means to be the people of God. But there comes a time when this army is coming against them and they know this, they are not going to be able to defeat this army. It's just too big. So they're prepared, but what they have prepared, they cannot fix in their own way. They need God. And that's why we're looking at this series, because no matter how much we do, and we always will think carefully about how we are church, the strategy we have, the vision that we have, if we do it without Jesus, we are lost. We do not want to be a people of God who down the line go, look what we did. We want to be a people of God who down the line go, look what God did. We didn't have a clue how that was going to work, but look what God did. And this is a moment in our church's life where I think in more than ever, we're invited to go deeper with Jesus, to lean into him, to put our eyes on him, and to seek him first. And that's personally. And the call is for you and me at the beginning of this year, are we serious about our walk with Jesus? What are we going to do about being serious? If our answer to that is yes, what will we do to enable ourselves to be in his presence and to be transformed by him? And then as a church, are we serious together about going deeper with him? And if that answer is yes, how are we as a church going to pursue him together? So I think this, we've all, like I've said every other week, we've always been a church that has valued prayer and has valued the Holy Spirit and has valued going deeper with Jesus. This isn't new in a sense, but I do think, and this isn't just for our church, when I talk to church leaders at things I go to, this is the same thing that they're saying. There is this sense of simplicity. Come back to the first love. On our knees, we need God at this time because God is forming his church for this new season of what he's going to do. And you hear stories, don't you, of people who are seeking God, this quiet revival thing that you hear of. And again, when I talk to people, they say people are walking into the church. Now, that's great that people walk into church, but what will they encounter when they walk into church? Will they encounter people on fire for Jesus? Will they encounter people so filled with his Holy Spirit, so committed and consecrated to Jesus that before anything's said, they just know that they're in a place that's different? In one sense, we don't need to do anything except become more like Jesus. And then he does the work in and through us. So that's what I guess the title for this week's talk is, what does a holy life look like? If we are people who are saying yes to that, and I hope we are, I think we are, if we're people who are saying yes to that, what does a holy life look like? Because we're already in places of mission, aren't we? We already, most of our lives aren't spent here, I hope. Well, some of us, it is true, actually, after thinking about that. But most of us in this room, our lives aren't spent in this space, are they? We're in workplaces, we're in our homes, we're bringing up children, we're in schools, we're in universities. We're already in those places, And we don't really need, and again, please don't hear me say that evangelism strategies aren't important and we don't need to think about how we can maybe do alphas and those kind of things. But we don't really need those things first. We need to be just people who are so filled with the Spirit of God, so on fire for Jesus, that when we go into those spaces, we change the room. You know people, don't you, who, I'm sure you know people who change the atmosphere of a room when they walk in there, for good or for bad. Sometimes there are people who walk into a room and everyone kind of goes, I'm not going to say anything. You're all thinking of this person now. I can see everyone going, oh yeah, I know that person. You know, where they just change the dynamic of the room because of the way they are. And then you get the people who are the people who change the dynamic of the room for good reasons. You know, they're fun. They're the life of the party, is the phrase we often use. You know, they come into a room and they change the atmosphere. And you like being in a room with those people because the words they say are good. They're kind. They're encouraging. I heard recently, I was reminded recently about Christians should not be thermometers. They should be thermostats. Yeah? Thermometers, they read the temperature of the room and they just register whatever the temperature of the room is. Thermostats change the temperature of the room. We're people who should change the temperature of a room. Wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves working, wherever we find ourselves at school, whatever we're doing, whatever we do when we're not here, we should change the room. And it's not something I'm going to really try to change the room. It's like, okay, for me to be able to do that, I need to, the one call of my life is to go deeper with Jesus. And then when I go into that place, I take him with me. And the words I speak will be his words. I'll be kind. You know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5? Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, those things. That's the sign of maturity, isn't it? That's the sign of a thermostat, you know? A thermostat. People who are like that will be thermostats in the room. And again, you don't do your best to be good. You don't do your best to be kind. Yeah, we make decisions, obviously. But our ability to be able to make good decisions is, again, dependent on our ability to lean into Jesus, to seek him. So the call on us as individuals and us as a church is, what do we need to put into place to make sure that I'm spending time with Jesus so I become that sort of person? That's the call. And there was always something more. We probably, if you're really honest with yourself now, you know there are things in your life that you need to stop. You know there are things in your life that you maybe should do less of. You know there are things in your life maybe you would like to do more of. I do. If I stop and reflect, I know. I know what will help me spend time with Jesus. But I don't always do it. And there's grace here. You know, we are all people stumbling along together towards Jesus. That's what this church is. That's what we're doing. We are choosing to walk towards Jesus. Sometimes we carry each other because some of us find it hard. Sometimes we're carried by others. But as long as our direction and our heart's intent is towards him, that's what we're about as a church. So what does a life shaped by God's presence actually look like in the world? In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice that Jesus does not say, try to become light. He says, you are the light. Don't try to become light. You are the light. So mission, becoming someone who helps others to know Jesus, that's all mission is. Mission begins with our identity, for us stepping into what is already true about you and me. Before any activity, before any strategy, before any effort, the question isn't how do I shine? The question is, what is shaping me? How am I allowing Jesus to shape me? because whatever shapes you and me will eventually shine through us. So what does it mean to be light? Well, one thing it doesn't mean is certainty. Now, you'll know this, but it's really important that we say this. Trusting in Jesus isn't about certainty. I was reminded of a poem, well, not reminded, it was the first time I'd come across it, but I love the idea of this poem. It's by someone called Minnie Louise Haskins. I don't know if you know this poem. It's a poem that talks about trust, being someone who leans into Jesus, but knows that there isn't going to be certainty in that. We love certainty, don't we? We'd love to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We'd love to know how it's going to all work out. I certainly would at the moment, with all the different things we're talking about as a church, which are exciting, but I'm like, how is that going to work out? I would love certainty. I'd love a little kind of email from God that arrived in my inbox tomorrow morning that said, this is how it's all going to work out, Mike. But it's not the way it is. All God says is put your hand into my hand and trust me. So this is the poem. Minnie Louise Haskins. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. It's not about seeing the whole road ahead, it's about trusting the one who walks with us. It's always about companionship. It's always about that Psalm 23, I'll walk with you through the light and shade of life. I won't transport you out of those things. I promise to be with you. And as we learn to walk with him in those places, we become people who reflect who he is, who learn to trust in him no matter what happens. Now, I know that's an easy thing for me to say from the stage and not an easy thing to walk through. I hope you know me enough by now to know I'm not saying this lightly. And I know that for many in this room, the things that we walk through are really hard sometimes. But whose hand we put our hand into makes all the difference. And if we choose, if we learn to be people who trust him and walk with him in that time, then we not only get peace for ourselves, but we become people who are able to radiate peace to others, the fruit of the Spirit to others. And they go, even though you have walked that way, how are you able to be like that? And you're able to say, well, this is God. This is God, and it gives you that opportunity to point to him. You are the light of the world. This is what being the light of the world looks like. It is safer than a known way. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are called into light so that we may declare the praises of God. Intimacy with Jesus, called into his presence, is always both for us, but so that we may declare his praises to the world. That was always what the people of God were called to be. And where the people of God have always gone wrong is when they've gone, it's for me, it's for us. It's for us to be this little holy huddle. I want it for me. That was never God's calling. You know, and the people of God at times went, we're the special ones. We don't like those Gentiles. God's made us special. He likes us better is where it goes. Never the case. Never what God wanted for his people. The people of God were always blessed in order to be a blessing. Blessed in order to be a blessing. Called into the light so that we might declare the praises of God to the world that is desperate to know a different way, desperate to know that there is hope. In all the bad news that there is around, to know there is hope. that God has done something about this, and that one day he will return and make everything new again, and it will be like it was originally meant to be. The things of heaven coming back to earth. And in the meantime, we are the trailers to the big film that will one day come. And people look at us and go, I want to see that film. As we learn to hold Jesus' hand to trust, then we shine brighter. We are the light of the world, and our light will shine so much more brighter as we connect to the power source. Holiness is not withdrawal from the world. A life shaped by God's grace becomes a visible witness to who he is. It always points outwards. Mission happens because you and I become more like Jesus. And there are things that you can I can do, but it is always about how do I live a life that is ordered around Jesus. Sometimes the phrase that is used is patterned around Jesus. What are the things? And it'll be there are some common things, aren't there, that are just givens. And you don't need me to tell you what those are. But for each of us, I encourage you to ask God today, what are you asking me to do so that I can go deeper with you? Before I do anything, what are you asking me to do so that I can go deeper with you? And if there's something I already do that works, show it to me. Help me to dig deeper into that. Help me to go deeper into that. For me, just very practically, there's a seat in our house. We've just got one of those seats. I don't know what you call them. Love seats, where two people can sit together and cuddle. Yeah. It's great, interesting watching households, seeing who goes into that seat. But we have one of those seats, and I've realized that if I sit in that seat, I can open the curtain, look out the window, and I always find looking out at creation or something beautiful is helpful. And I've stuck the books that are going to help me, like my journal, Oswald Chambers, My Most for His Highest. I love reading one of those every day. I'm not saying this is what you do. I'm just giving you a practical example. I know that if I've got those books there, I can sit in that seat, I've got my coffee, reach out, put the book there, and I'm there. I'm spending time with God. If the book is not there, me and Pip had a little bit of a debate about the messiness of books on the side. But I said, look, if you don't want me to be close to Jesus, then we'll put the book somewhere tidy. I didn't say that. I learn a lot of Pip in terms of how to follow Jesus. But what are those things? What are those little structures that are going to enable you to do the thing, to do that, spend that time with Jesus? And I'm sure you already have these things. But just reflect, take time to reflect. What's going to enable me to do that, to go deeper with him? It's a grace, Jesus' presence is a grace that transforms from the inside out. Paul says this in Romans 12, 1-2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God is the one who does the transformation. He renews our mind. And isn't that what you want? Don't you want to have a mind that is able to discern what is God's will? What is good and pleasing and perfect in the places where you work, in all those places we thought about at the beginning, where you spend your time. Don't you want to be the sort of person who is able to discern, speak the word in season, speak that word of encouragement, speak that word of challenge sometimes, but you're so walking in step with Jesus that he's transformed and renewed your mind so that you're able to do that. Now, it's always going to be a journey this side of heaven. But don't you want to get closer to that? To have wisdom, to have discernment with people, to know when to speak, when to be quiet, and to carry a peace that is louder than anything we might say. Transformation doesn't begin with effort. What does he say at the beginning of that passage? In view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. It begins with gratitude. If you do nothing else at the beginning of the day, start the day with gratitude. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's a choice. But start the day with gratitude. And in view of God's mercy, he will come and meet us in that place and begin to transform us. God renews our minds. He reshapes our desires. And over time, our lives begin to look different. But it is a choice. Do I want this? Do you want this? What will you do to spend time with Jesus so that he transforms you and changes you and so that you become a light in the places where you find yourself? Back to Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is very clear about the purpose of good works. They are not meant to draw attention to us, but to direct attention to God. So when people encounter us, they, like I say, they encounter love, joy, patience, kindness, self-control, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And please hear me. If you're recalling that time when you just got really angry at work and you shouted at someone and you said something you shouldn't do, that's okay. There's lots of grace here. I'm holding up before us that which God wants to invite us into. And there's always more. And there's always time to say, sorry, I messed up today. That's okay. But he wants to lead us deeper into this. He wants to form his church so that it becomes this visible city on a hill, a light shining in the darkness. And so that people, when they are searching, they go, that's what I want. I want that. I want what they've got. The realness of what they've got. Thermostats, not thermometers. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. You can hang everything else around that. Our lives to become signposts. I'm really excited in what God is calling us to as a church at the moment. But we're not really quite sure how it's going to work out. And we're doing lots of thinking, don't worry, we're doing lots of that, lots of strategy, and we will share stuff with you as we go along, and it's going to be an adventure and a journey, and we believe God has called us to be this 7-day-a-week serving church, not a 1-day-a-week service church. We already have so much that we're connected with the community in. We've got hopes for what could happen beyond that, partnerships that we're looking at with other churches, and it's exciting. But I do not want to be a people who go, look what we did. In this place of invite, of change, of stepping into a new season, we will last the course. We will be a church who carries on and goes deeper and deeper and makes more of an impact in Sheffield and beyond if we are a people who remind ourselves daily, constantly, it has to start with him. It has to be about us set on fire with love for Jesus so that people see him in us. It has to be. So we get it right now and keep that going. Then I'm really excited for what God's going to do in and through us going forward. We must not go there being a people who are without being a people committed to keeping our eyes on him. And the last thing I want to say, and this is John 17, 22-23, is this, Jesus says something really extraordinary in this passage. I have given them glory, talking about you and me, talking about his disciples at the time, but talking about you and me and all who come, have come before us and who will come after us, who followers of Jesus. I have given them glory, the glory that you gave me. So he's given us the same glory that he had. That they may be one as we are one, as the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one. He's praying that you and I would be one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." So Jesus links unity amongst his followers, not just here, but with other churches, how we walk with other churches, how we do that well, other people who follow Jesus, people who follow Jesus around the world. He links that unity with the world coming to believe. Unity isn't just internal health for you and me, for the church. That's important. It's part of our witness, how we choose to go together. Remember one of our values, we go together. How we walk together matters. How we trust God together in certain seasons, like now, matters. A people who are united, prayerful, and non-anxious are deeply compelling to a fractured world. So what does this look like for you? What does this look like in the ordinary places that you and I find ourselves in the rest of the week? At work, at home, in neighborhoods, in conversations. How do we carry uncertainty but still point to Jesus? Mission can be very loud, and that's good, but mission most often is quiet. It's often unnoticed. It's often deeply ordinary. But it's a people who are on fire for Jesus, who, because they're transformed and shaped by him, change the atmosphere of a room, wherever they are. So let's just pause. We're going to sing a song in a moment, but I just want to give us a chance to ask the two important questions. What is God saying to you? And what will you do about it? Maybe you're saying something to God as well. What do you want to say to him? God is not a God who is afraid of the honesty of our heart. In fact, he longs for the honesty of our heart. What parent wants their children to pretend that they're okay? What parent wants their children to pretend because they're afraid to be honest with their parent? God's no different. He would much rather we were just honest before him. So just in this quiet, share with him what's going on in your heart and ask him. He's a good father. Ask him, what is he saying to you right now? And try and make it practical as well. What is one thing that God might be asking you to stop or to do less of or to take up to enable you to be with him? For me, I know God has challenged me to go to bed earlier so that I can get up and spend time with him. It's very simple, very practical. That's one thing. What is it for you? We will sing now, but please use this song as a way of keeping responding. But I also encourage you, when we take communion in a moment, it's a great time to respond to God. You know, I'm taking you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I'm receiving who you are. Help me to be close to you. So I encourage you, as you take the bread and wine in a moment, use that as your response time, if you'd like, before him, to say yes. I do want to go deeper with you. I do want to be known by you and to know you more. This is our most important thing we choose to do as followers of Jesus, before anything else. It's the most important thing. Everything else comes from that place. Everything. Just encourage you to take it seriously. Especially those of us who've been doing it for a while. We can become a little bit complacent in our walk. He's always wanting to do something new. Can I encourage you to stand when you're ready? We're going to sing. If you are a parent of a child that needs picking up, please, would you do that now during this song so that the children can come back and as family together, we can take communion. If you still need to just spend time with God and you need to do that during the song, please do whatever is right for you, whatever you need to do, please use this space.